Our New Testament reading for this morning comes from the second chapter of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, as he is encouraging them in his absence. He speaks words that I think speak well to us. So let us listen now for what the Spirit would say to us through these words. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And here Paul now borrows from a hymn that apparently was a part of the early church's worship. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Mohandas Gandhi, the famous Indian leader who led a nonviolent campaign against British colonial rule in his country, is also famous for his quotes. I see his quotes popping up with some regularity on Facebook and Twitter. You must be the change that you wish to see in the world. An eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. And here's another one. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. This quote from Paul and the one from Gandhi seem incompatible. If Christians have the same mind that is in Christ, why do we not look like him? And yet, the words of Gandhi do ring true to some degree. Very often we Christians do not look much like Jesus. Too often, no one would look at us and think that they have just caught a glimpse of Jesus, even though that is precisely what it means to take the name Christian. When you meet someone from another country or another culture, especially if you've never been to that place, in all likelihood you will draw some conclusions about that place, about that country or culture, based on the people that you meet. And the same is true when Americans travel abroad. The way that American tourists act gives people in those countries some impression about how things are in America. Now, Gandhi was not a Christian, but he lived in a country that had been ruled by Christians for a couple hundred years or so. And clearly, they had not impressed him all that much. But he had bothered to find out about Jesus by reading the Bible, and when he read the Bible, he discovered that he liked this Jesus very much. It was Jesus' followers that bothered him. which reminds me a bit of a funny and somewhat troubling book and movie by Dan Merchant entitled Lord Save Us from Your Followers. Now, in his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul is pretty clear what it looks like for us to live if we have the mind of Christ. We are to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. In humility, we are to regard others as better than ourselves. We are to worry about the needs of others more than we worry about our own needs. And I don't know, in truth, that we really need Paul to tell us this. If we know anything about the story of Jesus, we know that Jesus cared little for earthly possessions, that he spent much of his time caring for others. We know that he hung out with the bottom tier of society, and he warned us repeatedly about the dangers of wealth. We know that he was nonviolent and called his followers to love their enemies and turn the other cheek. That he gave himself even to the point of death on a cross, and that he called his followers to embrace this self-sacrificial way of the cross. We know all of this, so why don't we look more like Jesus? Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, I suppose that one of the possible reasons we don't look any more like Jesus than we do is because, well, to us it seems a nearly impossible task. If Jesus was indeed sinless and perfect, what chance do we have at that? Now, Paul, I don't think, expects the Philippians or us to be sinless or perfect. Yet it is clear that he thinks that we can become very much like Christ. And this is not a matter of Paul just urging us to try harder. Rather, this is about the new life that is possible in Christ, the new life that comes to us in Christ. When Paul urges the Philippians, saying, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation in love, if there is any sharing in the Spirit, if there is any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, he is insisting that all these things are available to us. The word translated if in our reading is a particular Greek form that implies that this is in fact the case, and indeed some translators prefer to render these verses, since there is encouragement in Christ, since there is consolation in love, since there is sharing in the Spirit, and so on. And this is not the only sort of interesting translation issue in these verses of ours today. When Paul quotes from that early Christian hymn, speaking about the nature of Christ who did not regard equality as God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, he introduces it with that phrase, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. But this could just as easily be translated, let the same mind be in you that you have in Christ Jesus. And given the way that Paul so often speaks about how we become something new in Christ Jesus, I think this latter is the more likely translation. Paul is not urging the Philippians to simply try harder to be like Christ. Rather, he is calling them and us to live into who it is and what it is that we actually are. The good news that Paul shared long ago with the Philippians is that in Christ they have become new people. They have died to sin and been reborn to new life. The power of God is at work in them so that they can both will and do that which brings honor to God. Paul's not simply giving a motivational pep talk here. He is calling the Philippians and us to remember who we are. A few weeks ago, I was at a pastor's conference, one of these things pastors go to, and in one of the presentations, they showed a clip from the Disney movie, The Lion King, the animated movie that I think is probably the best of all Disney's animated movies. And if you've never seen it, the story revolves around Simba, the young cub of the Lion King, Mufasa. Simba is the heir to the throne, but Mufasa's brother Scar, the villain in the story, hatches a plot in which Mufasa is killed and Simba is convinced that he is to blame for his father's death. Racked with guilt, Simba runs away into self-imposed exile, which of course leaves the pride, the kingdom, to the evil rule of Scar. And in the clip that they played at the conference, Simba's old girlfriend comes back and pleads with him to come back and take his place on the throne and get rid of Scar before it's too late. Simba doesn't want to. He resists, but with the help of Rafiki, a mandrill, that's one of those painted face looking monkeys, with the help of Rafiki, who is a kind of priest, prophet, and wise sage, Simba has a vision of his father. And voiced powerfully by James Earl Jones, Mufasa speaks to his son, "You have forgotten who you are, and so you have forgotten me. Remember who you are." And as it unfolds, I'm emboldened by the promise that Mufasa dwells within him. Of course, Simba goes back and takes his rightful place on the throne and restores the pride, the kingdom, to the peace and harmony it knew under his father, Mufasa. And as I watch that clip, that one phrase that Mufasa spoke to his son grabbed me and would not let go of me. "You have forgotten who you are, and so you have forgotten me." I couldn't shake the idea that this was spoken directly to me. It was as if Jesus was saying to me, "You have forgotten who you are, and so you have forgotten me." If we as Christians have forgotten who we are, then no wonder Gandhi says, "I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians." But of course, the good news is that correcting this is not about us having to undertake some sort of Herculean effort. It's not about employing tremendous courage or fortitude or commitment. Rather, correcting this is about remembering. Remember who you are. Remember that in your baptism you were joined to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit now dwells within you. Remember that the power of sin has been broken in you, and you are fully able both to will and to do that which honors God and which reveals Christ to the world. Remember that God is at work in you, giving you all that you need to be the body of Christ. Remember who you are. All praise and glory to the God whose love comes to us in Jesus Christ and makes us into new people, those who share the mind of Christ. Thanks be to God.